Welcome to Two Nerds and an Actor special episode. We are the entertainment podcast for the nerd adjacent to the nerd aficionado, where we give you bi-weekly reviews on a popular TV show and movie, where we tell you in hilarious fashion what to watch and why. This is season 4, episode 20, but a very special episode where we're going to be talking about all of the Disney Investor Day announcements. We're going to touch on every single 200. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. I don't have any funky names for my nerd guys here because it's a special. Should it be super, super special?
We're also going to be reviewing Soul.
All right. We're also going to be reviewing Soul. Yeah. Oh, are you guys my nerd souls?
Sure.
Mike Santana.
I just speak like a middle-aged white woman because it's annoying.
Spot on.
And Franz Jerome.
I am either Jerry or Terry.
Does that make me Jazz? I'm Jazz.
Like the Gladiator?
First of all.
The Gladiator and the cultural phenomenon.
France has arrived. France just saluted. No hands.
Ayo.
Yeah. As we mentioned, we'll be talking about a number of the Disney Investors Day announcements that are for the next like 3 years. It's like 2021 to 2024 or something like that. That
they're coming out. 50 years of cinema.
I bet you it's gonna get pushed too. They're gonna be like, yeah, we thought 2024, but we'll see you in 2026.
I feel like based on what we've seen, like in Mandalorian, this just might be what they're showing us. These are the holes in the Swiss, you know what I'm saying? There's so much more.
There's so much more. And then, yeah, we're going to give you a little review of it's Pixar. Yes, the Pixar movie Soul. Because it's been getting reviews, and I'm going to
have thoughts.
Leave it as generic as that till we get into it. All right, let's jump in. I have a whole list. We're going to start out with Lucasfilm. I always just call it Star Wars stuff, but I realize it's an actual studio.
There's an actual studio. They make other things besides Star Wars.
What?
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's start out with the obvious that Ahsoka is getting her own live-action series. It's a series, right? Mm-hmm. Not a movie. Yeah.
It's a series.
And you know what? We might as well get this out. This is semi-spoiler because we have to talk about certain things from some of the series or movies that are associated with these announcements that were made a few weeks ago. So it's spoiler.
Yeah.
But not too hard, you know. It's suave.
No, it's
suave.
It's true because there's no way we could talk about it like without talking about Mandalorian,
right?
So Ahsoka is getting her own thing. Does anyone know what the time frame is? Is this like after Mandalorian, before Mandalorian?
No, this is probably gonna pick up right where we left her in Mandalorian.
Ooh.
But Dave Filoni, who did Rebels and Clone Wars and all those other shits, and he's helping with Mandalorian, he's hinted that the end sequence, the end scene in Rebels, where Ahsoka and Sabine are like, all right, let's go get this motherfucker Ezra. He's hinted that that moment might not have necessarily happened like right after Rebels. And based on what we saw Ahsoka looking like and being Sabine-less in Mandalorian, it's quite possible that like where Mandalorian is right now isn't even at that part where they're ready. She, you know, where she's wearing like Gandalf the White type shit. She has a staff.
All white robe, staff.
Yeah. And Sabine is there. So we're probably not even up to that Ahsoka in live action. But I think this and another series that you're about to talk about, I believe that's been said. Both of those things are happening pretty much during Mandalorian.
So, I mean, it's like catching us up to wherever she is going to
Yeah, eventually I think she'll end up looking like Gandalf, but...
But isn't there a gap between, like when does she become an adult? Because in the Clone Wars, isn't she like a kid?
She's an adult. She's an adult in Mandalorian.
She's an adult
in Rebels.
In Rebels, too, yeah. Oh. Yeah, she's an adult, but she's not like... Like, we saw her wearing gray robes.
Right.
In the end of Rebels, she's wearing all white, looking like... The force is exuding out of every orifice. You know what I'm saying?
Shakti vibes.
Yeah. Like she became the owl and shit. Like, Jesus.
Got it. Okay.
Shakti.
Cool. Well, I mean, that brings us to our next one because they're all connected anyway. Rangers of the New Republic. Now, is this the Rogue Squadron one? Or is, no, this is something else.
Rogue Squadron is a movie.
Oh, that's a movie.
Yeah, that's a movie.
So what's Rangers of the New Republic?
Well, that's the guys Dune.
Yeah, like Cara Dune's peoples. Like
yeah.
People that she used to run with, Cara, which is, you know, Gina Carano's character in Mandalorian.
The two dudes that showed up in the spider cave.
Right. Like them. Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm saying this series also is taking place during the Mandalorian.
We're going to call it Reconstruction.
Reconstruction, right?
Galactic Reconstruction.
That was funny in Mandalorian, too. And he was like, oh, I saw the Death Star destroyed. She's like, which one?
Oh, yeah. I was like, damn.
She tried to get him back, you know, but.
Well, that'll be interesting. I honestly have no idea about that, so. Cool.
It's going to be like Space Cops.
Yeah, there's
space
a lot of room there.
Yeah.
So they are having the movie, though, Rogue Squadron, which is going to be the Luke Skywalker times of being in the Rogue Squadron, right? Destroying the Death Star?
I don't know.
We don't know. And
it's a woman directing that, too, but I forgot who they said
it was. It's Patty Jenkins.
Oh.
But they have a little featurette with her, and she talks about how her dad was a fighter pilot and all stuff,
right.
Which then makes some of the bullshit that happens in Wonder Woman make a little more sense, but still bad. But I'm hoping that this is a platform that she can run with and that this story can actually be dope.
I hope she's not writing it. Directing it, that's fine. But if she's not, because if she wrote Wonder Woman, I didn't like Wonder Woman. So
if Wedge Antilles is whack, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, if she's directing it, fine. If she's writing it, then I have cause for concern.
Yeah, I have no idea whether she's writing it or not. I do know she is directing. But it could stay at that.
Well. Okay.
This next one I'm actually really excited about, and it's Andor.
Andor.
It follows Cassian, who is in Rogue One. And he was such a great character. I loved him more than the main girl. What's her name? What was her name?
Jyn Erso.
The actress or her character?
Oh, her character. No,
the character, Erso, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was cool and, like, obviously.
Sure.
Integral.
She wasn't blind.
She was played by Felicity Jones.
Oh, that's her name? Felicity Jones?
Yes.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
What a regular name. What? It is. Like, Felicity Jones. Okay. Wanted her to be something more exciting. Anyway. Cassian is really exciting because I have no idea what his story is going to be. It's going to be so fun.
It's a prequel to the prequel.
Yeah. I
mean, yeah. It's dope because he's a spy, essentially, at a time that we know little about as far as what spies would be doing at that time. Early on in this war. It's like, oh, this is interesting. We know he dies, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, but like we don't know how far back it is before he dies.
Yeah, it's real weird with these stories where you kind of know where they're going to end up.
I know.
I don't know. But we'll see.
Well, that's what the actor said too. He was like, it was sad because like, you know, we all died and I wanted to explore this character more. And he's like, and now I get to. Okay.
Sort of.
Hey, it could be like 10 years before...
I just wanted him to encounter a bunch of prophets and people that tell him how bright his future is. Because they're right. He dies in an explosion.
You mean bright, like physically bright?
Yeah, didn't he die on the beach?
Yeah, he did. With
yeah, all right, so
Felicity. That's what
I want. I want the movie, the show to be full of things like that.
Well, it's exciting. So we already know Obi-Wan. I guess the only news about the Obi-Wan Kenobi thing is that...
Huge news.
Yeah. Hayden Christensen is coming back to play Darth Vader, which gives me so many questions.
Like, what's he going to sound like with the mask on?
But, well, like, yeah, also it's Hayden Christensen. He's not going to sound anything like James Earl Jones.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are they going to... In Rebels and shit like that, that wasn't James Earl Jones, right? They just had a dude.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like we would have known if he had come back for that.
All right, so it's going to be just a dude. It's fine.
Wait, so does that mean Hayden Christensen is going to be in this, like, Darth Vader suit, just, like, not talking?
Unless they maybe synthesize his voice to sound super robotically modulated. I don't know, but he's going to be in it. There'll be plenty of times, I'm sure, whether he's meditating, because Darth Vader is huge on meditation and out-of-body force training and shit like that, journeys.
Sorry, it sounds
so there'll
funny.
Be plenty of moments where he's like, we can see him a little bit.
Okay.
But the most exciting part of this is not just as Hayden Christensen coming back, but they've already said that at some point in this Obi-Wan series, Obi-Wan and Darth Vader will clash.
Right.
So I'm hoping we see like a really badass fight.
Like in Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that the Obi-Wan series was going to be like his before times. Like,
This is him after six? I mean, sorry, after three?
Yeah.
Just looking over Luke and making sure nobody fucks with Luke.
Oh.
But apparently, he's going to have some off-world shit going on where he actually... Maybe he goes to try to help another Jedi escape Vader... Or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm hoping there's some Kyle Katarn situations. I'm hoping that there's a Bo-Katan situation.
With Obi-Wan?
Well, Bo-Katan is the sister to the person that Obi-Wan really broke the rules for.
Like well, he would have. He
had a relationship with homegirl. He just ain't consummate.
Oh, he said... What? Well, that's what I mean. They didn't really actually get to the smashes.
Whoa.
Well, they could have, but they they retconned it in...
Oh.
With, so he Last slept Skywalker. With Bo-Katan's sister.
Sister, yeah.
And created problems with the family because of that?
No. It was quiet.
But I don't know. Maybe Bo-Katan is like, you should have left so you could have protected my sister. Maybe
she might have some feelings.
So there's baby Obi-Wan somewhere?
It was supposed to be Rey, but then they opted out of that for the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see. Timeline-wise, this is between 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Grogu, same age. Could we see Grogu? Maybe. I'm serious.
We need a Feige wall for the Star Wars everything.
Like, maybe Obi-Wan rescues Grogu. I don't know.
They could.
Mandalorian said, I'll see you again. So, I want to know what that means.
You don't even know the name of the dude that took him. You didn't even ask.
He didn't.
He just wanted to know if he was a Jedi after he watched the Jedi shit.
I was like, what do you mean?
The most Jedi.
The most.
After him basically Jedified Jedi.
Yeah.
Luke V. Skywalker.
Like, you Jedi?
Okay. Are you a Jedi? They're like, were you not watching the screen?
Didn't even flinch when a droid rolled up either. When R2 showed up.
Oh my God. R2 showed up and I died. Flinch.
And I'm tired of people saying that, Luke rolled up. Blah, blah. R2 rolled up.
Yeah.
Actual wheels.
He was actual like, let wheels. Me wait till like the carnage is over and I'll head in.
What you mean? Everybody Luke left breathing, he went off and finished all of them.
He's like, pew, pew. Let me catch this guy, pew, pew.
Yeah, pew, pew. R2 got more bodies on him than I'm not going to finish that.
Oh, my quietest cat? He got more bodies than the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
What? Popeye's chicken sandwich?
People died.
No, people didn't die.
Actually, he's right. Actually,
what?
In the early craze moments of this,
Yeah. No freaking way. How? What?
Yeah. He's actually right. I don't want to lose our sponsorship, we're not going to talk about it.
It's our sponsorship.
Fair enough. Because we got that Long John Silver's.
Love that Grogu from
Star Wars. Chicken Outlaws? I don't know.
Chicken Outlaws. Write that down.
No, speaking of Long John Silver's, the Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch. Right? There we go.
Right? That's dropping soon.
Is it animated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's animated.
Yeah, it's another animated, and it's about I mean, I don't know a lot about this because I didn't watch Clone Wars, but they are the bad clones or the defective clones. Now, what makes a defective clone? They wouldn't listen? Like,
they look too much alike.
They're like way too identical. Know. We can't tell you any aberration.
Was an issue.
Like they got a mole on their face.
Like one was less intelligent. Like he wasn't as book smart as any of the other clones, but he was also twice the size. He had a growth aberration.
He is the Brood Squad.
Yeah, he was bigger than there's one that just would not listen.
Oh, I just
didn't take
that.
Orders. Yeah, there's one who didn't take orders. He looks like Rambo. His OD. And then there's one that's a tactician that's really book smart, but not very physically strong, and then there's another one that's a marksman because his vision is like super augmented, but the rest of them isn't.
So they didn't just Spartan them, throw them off a cliff. They're like, bad batch.
Typically they would have, but this is like a batch of them that they put together to see if they could make each other better.
Oh.
And there you go.
Yay! And they show up first in Rebels, yes? Or
no, they show up in the Clone Wars, exclusively the last season of the Clone Wars.
Okay, I just feel like I'll have to figure out how to catch up on that before I could even watch it, so I might not be able to watch it all. I'll watch it in pieces with you.
I only watched the episodes that led up to Ahsoka and that she was in, and that's it.
Oh, okay. I'll do that then.
That's all the fuck I did.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you really get more information watching the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars joints that he did back when the movie first came out.
Oh. Yeah,
I wish they did more of that. Well, actually, they might when we get up to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Visions, is that the next thing?
Yes.
I honestly have no idea what this is.
Star Wars Visions is basically Star Wars anime. It's like the Animatrix. They're going to let people make animated series of episodes or whatever.
Right.
Scenes, snippets.
What?
In the Star Wars universe in different art styles. So we could possibly see things like what France mentioned, the Samurai Jack style of a fucking Star Wars animated episode, or we might see some actual Star Wars anime, we might see some stop motion Star Wars. There's a bunch of shit. Star Wars Visions is Animatrix.
That's crazy.
If I could play mini golf and hit the ball to the rumor mill real quick, the word on the street was that there's a lot of the collapsed stuff that got collapsed in the extended universe. Those are the stories that folks are fishing for. Yeah, so Star Wars Legends, those really epic comics, and yeah, so it's like rumor mills that those things could end up in. That's some of the stories in social media that they're looking for to reopen.
My hope and dream is that two people that get to tell stories in this are one, Koyo Horikoshi from My Hero Academia, the mangaka of that, because he's a huge Star Wars nerd.
What?
Yeah, even names cities in his fake Japan after Star Wars cities.
Is it like Dagobah Beach?
No.
Beach?
Yeah, isn't it Dagobah Beach where All Might trains this kid in the first one?
Yeah, like Daytona Beach?
Is it Dagobah Beach? Well,
yeah, anyway, it's Dagobah Beach.
He names a bunch of stuff like that. And then him, and then I also hope somehow that Hideo Kojima gets to do something Star Wars related.
Francis is making two Japanese faces.
Hideo Kojima is not an anime person, but if you just let him tell a story within Star Wars,
his espionage game,
bro, anything you could give him anything, and just let him do it. Just let him CGI do it. Just
give him a Dio story.
It'll be the Advent Children of Star Wars.
Oh my God.
Oh my word.
If you just let give Hideo Kojima 22 minutes and the budget.
He'll give you the world. Budget.
And he'll give you Star Wars Sephiroth.
Whoa. Do you think there'll be any stories about Leia like
juggling blasters? Yeah, maybe.
Like becoming a Jedi, basically.
Oh, maybe.
Damn, you sound disgusted. You're like,
who cares? Because I'm
done with all the trilogy characters.
Right,
I'm ready to talk about anybody but a Skywalker, to be honest.
That's
so
fair.
That's why I'm like, eh.
I feel that.
That's honestly fair. All right, the next one, we knew about this. Lando. Have we ever talked about it?
I didn't know about this shit.
Oh, I heard about it before this announcement. I don't remember how.
The thing is, I don't even know when the fuck this is taking place.
I have no idea. I don't know anything.
Are we getting Billy Dee Lando? Or are we getting fucking Childish off of season 4 Lando?
No, like, it is Billy Dee Williams. I know that.
Oh, then I don't give a fuck about this thing.
Yeah, he's going to like be in it. I don't know.
I honestly then don't care.
I mean, but maybe it is with Childish because it could be
flashbacks?
Like,
that's so weird.
Well, it could be like it's actually Childish and then we're doing, I don't know, forward fly. I don't know.
Whatever it is, Mike is not into it.
No, I thought it was Childish Gambino.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not him. He's probably
unless
like,
they
busy.
Shoot it, unless this series, and if I get canceled for this, it's fine. Unless this series is the Black Dynamite of space, then I don't care that it's Billy Dee. You know what I mean?
The best. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
every scene should be a Spotchka commercial.
Meanwhile, I was like, Billy Dee's impact on black people in sci-fi. I'm like, I don't know what they could do, but I'm willing to. I'm whatever it is. I'm like, I'm interested in what they do.
If they do it like where he talks about how this girl, remember in Skywalker?
Yeah.
Rise of Skywalker? They're like, oh yeah, that's my granddaughter.
No, that's his actual daughter.
No, but
it can't be daughter. That's
I don't want them to be related. That's mad racist. Because then all the black people in Star Wars would all know each other. Official.
That's true.
Then you start playing Marvin Gaye. Doom, 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 doom.
Well, she can't be.
Yeah, I don't want them to be related. Let him fall in love with her mama, but no.
Oh, no. She can't be related to Finn, though, so that's right.
Who?
The girl.
Who?
Finn.
All right, all right.
I don't understand. What was that? Oh, next, what we got?
The Acolyte. I also have no idea what this is.
Oh, actually, that's doing
that's about. If I'm not mistaken, like some old Sith shit.
Ooh.
I think that has to do with old Sith stuff.
Old Sith stuff.
I'm checking. Yeah.
That's really interesting, though. I'm down.
I think that's what that is.
Yeah, they didn't really give much like, oh, man.
There's something missing on your list here, by the way.
Is there?
Oh, the Acolyte is a part of the... the Acolyte is part of the... The High Republic, which is that new wave of stuff that they starting is literature first.
Old Sith shit.
It's the High Republic is a period.
No, I know, but the Acolyte
is that looking like to be maybe a Sith
so like
novel that was non-canon before.
Ye old
so
Sith
like
shit.
A Sith teenager?
It may be the beginning of the Thing of Two?
Young Plagueis.
Young Plagueis.
No, but there's something missing off your list. That's not here. That's not Star Wars, but it is Lucasfilm.
What?
Is it Willow?
No.
Willow's on there.
Is Harrison Ford related?
Really?
They announced another Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's Lucasfilm?
Yeah. George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. That's their joint.
Well, yeah, there is going to be another Indiana Jones.
Yeah, but they announced it during the thing. And I think they said Harrison Ford was involved.
Uh-huh, he is.
Are they going to retcon Shia LaBeouf out of it?
Oh, they should. Oof. They should definitely do that.
Shia's going to go on a shelf for a while.
Yeah, he's putting himself on a shelf for a while, to be honest. He's like,
yeah
domestic. Y'all should definitely put me away.
Yeah. And it's crazy that he was in talks to be with, involved in something Marvel related too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Play who? I don't know, but that's not gonna happen now.
Yeah, no.
Real life Moon Knight.
He's probably like, you know what? I have to atone for my sins. I have a pretty good savings account. Just gonna not be around.
Nah, but he's out of here. So I don't know what they're gonna do with Harrison Ford. Is Harrison Ford gonna Sean Connery? Like, is he gonna be?
He's gonna be the dad now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's what like Shia LaBeouf's character was, his son. I'm sure they're gonna recast, right. But I just want them to actually just have a new Indiana Jones. You know, not like completely new, like obviously connected, but just like pass the torch. Like Harrison Ford does not need to be in movies anymore. Like, no shade, okay?
I think he wants to be.
Exactly. He's had the old man waddle for like so long. No offense, but like he doesn't want to waddle anymore. He doesn't. So, next, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big Indiana Jones fan, although Crystal Skull was not my favorite.
So you don't want him to waddle in the same universe with Yoda with a girl named Yaddle?
Nah. Okay. All right. Settle down.
Moving on from that imagery, France. It's fucking disgusting, bro.
You're welcome.
All right, we got a droid story. Who's droid? What droid? Is it BB-8? Is it BB-8?
I don't know if it's just BB-8. I don't know.
Is this going to be like the love death robots of Star Wars?
Yikes.
No. It might just follow R2 or some shit. Like, he got a story to tell. He's seen some shit. He might have been the one to save Grogu. We don't fucking know, but...
So, is this a series? What is this?
It's a droid story.
Is that a movie?
I don't know. My recollection was that it was a movie.
It takes place in 1984.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
As long as R2 has a popped collar, then I'm down.
Two pop collars.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
It's an animated series that follows C-3PO and R2-D2.
Oh, cute.
There you fucking go. Boom.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They love each other.
I'm over it.
I think they're co-workers. I don't know if they love each other.
Co-workers? They're co-workers that slept with each other once. Okay? They're a little closer than that. Well, they couldn't stay together.
C-3PO is a bottom, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Totally.
He gives off bottom energy.
All right, so this one, for me...
He's not a power bottom, he's just... Anyway.
No. Right. No.
No.
For me, this is top-tier nostalgia, Willow.
What the hell are they doing?
I don't know. There's really no reason to remake Willow... The first one.
I don't
is
know if they're remake.
Perfect.
Are they rebooting it, or is this like more Willow? I don't know what it is.
How do you have more Willow?
What do you mean? How do you have more? How do you have more anything?
That doesn't make any sense.
You just take Willow and you put them in 1984.
So this is a series.
Wait, it took until the end of December for me to realize the cursed year is not 2020. It's 1984.
It's 1984.
Anyway,
oh yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead. All right. Sorry.
But it was written.
It's a series, but it's a sequel series.
Oh, okay. See? It's more Willow.
I disagree.
It's not a reboot.
Yeah, Ron Howard directed the original, so he's going to be back to do executive producing. And Warwick Davis is obviously back.
Who else was in Willow? Was there anybody like we know that was in Willow?
Yeah.
Val Kilmer.
Come on. What? Who?
Val Kilmer.
Oh, he's not gonna be in this.
What?
Mardigan?
Wait, no. Isn't Val Kilmer, didn't they put him in the new Top Gun?
Val Kilmer?
I don't know, actually.
I could have swore that they did.
That would be epic.
Again, I still haven't seen Top Gun. Is he in the original?
What, Val Kilmer?
Yeah.
Yes. That's his most iconic role of all time.
What? You know what his most iconic role is? The Saint.
No, it's what it... No. He wouldn't have gotten the Saint. He wouldn't have gotten The Saint. He wouldn't have got Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He wouldn't have got Batman had it not been for his appearance in fucking Top Gun.
That's the same for Tom Cruise, though, right? They're like, this is his role. Top Gun.
Tom Cruise got Top Gun because of the Risky Business.
What?
Yeah. And if Risky Business came out in 1984.
Yo, wait.
Did it?
This is 6 degrees of separation from 1984.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're coming out of the Lucasfilm. We're coming out of the, what do you call it when they came out of that cave? But it wasn't a cave. It was that mouth of that thing. In Star Wars.
Remember, this is no cave.
Puppet. And then they had to get out.
This is no cave. It's an anus. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So coming out of that, we're going straight into the Marvel.
When's Marvel?
Into the MCU. A lot of these we already knew about and had spoken about. So we're just going to kind of touch on either new information that has come to light or the new stuff that we didn't even know was there. So, new information has come to light. One is Hawkeye is actually going to star What's-Her-Face from Francis, I'm talking about.
Haley Steinfeld?
Yep. Yeah. See, he knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Haley Steinfeld.
And the guy.
Which?
Clint Barton himself.
Oh, Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy
Renner is going to be in it. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like he's not going to stay Hawkeye, but this girl is going to become the Hawkeye.
And that's fine. Kate Bishop. That's fine. That's fine. We've had Hawkeye. That's fine.
But it's also going to be a comedy style. There's these two directors. Oh, my God. What is their names? They call themselves... Oh, I remember. It was so funny.
Oh,
The Bets or something.
I don't know. Hold on. Which one is this one for? I gotta find it again.
Hawkeye.
I mean, yeah.
If Hawkeye is done in the style of the comic with Pizza Dog and all that, then it should have some offbeat humor in it.
No,
for sure.
Will. So Bert and Bertie, they call themselves the Berts.
That's what it was.
What are
they known for?
They're known for, isn't it? France, you had it.
I did. I got to find it.
He's finding it.
Okay.
But they're two women. Oh, they did Troop Zero. That was on Amazon. That had Viola Davis in it. But what is the really funny one they did?
Well, hopefully it's Hawkeye.
Well, yeah. So they're known as like comedy directors. So... they're going to be doing Hawkeye, which is really exciting because I think
People panic, you know, like, oh, what are you doing with the comedy direct? The Russos, before they did fucking Winter Soldier, were doing episodes of Community. All right.
What?
And Community for a comedy and some of the best action sequences on television.
Yeah.
During its run.
That's a
true statement.
No lie.
So let's not get all crazy here. Like, what do you mean, comedians? Shut up. Shut the fuck up. All right?
See, I didn't know that Hawkeye was a comedy, so I'm interested in it.
The Matt Fraction run had like a kind of dry New York humor to it. You know what I mean? Like the situation. Like Hawkeye was
like,
trying to live
I'm
in a fucking
apartment.
Yes. Hawkeye was trying to just live in his apartment. You know what I mean? Like he was just trying.
He doesn't
to,
really have powers. He's like
he doesn't.
He can
he doesn't.
Just like
he doesn't.
See
no.
and shoot he really doesn't. Good.
And people remind him about that shit every day. But in the Matt Fraction run of Hawkeye, that kind of grounded level of storytelling with the humor gave it so much heart and endeared so many people to Hawkeye and eventually Kate Bishop that it's one of the better. Like comic runs, I would say, that's outside of the box of the norm in the last 20, 30 years or whatever. It was pretty good. It was really beloved.
Well, I'm excited. The one I'm not so excited about anymore is She-Hulk.
Et pourquoi?
Because it's going to be a comedy. It's literally
an office style comedy, they said.
She's going to be the Hulk, like, because also She-Hulk doesn't change back and forth between like a humanish body and
no,
her.
No, she, well.
Is she going to go back and forth?
I got to think about that.
Because I read a thing that was saying that like She-Hulk in the beginning used to change back and forth. And then later in the series, she just stayed later,
she just would always be Hulk. Yeah. That might be what they do. Not sure. Tatiana Maslany is an extraordinary actress.
Right.
She just happens to be a pretty tiny, short one. Yeah, like a normal sized person. So I don't know what the budget is for this. I don't know what the look they're going for with this will be. Because She-Hulk, you know, as a character, she will wear her fucking power skirt. You know, like she's a character who is very openly like sexual and super
really
comfortable. Yeah,
and confident. Like, yeah, that was the whole point.
Yeah, she is not in any way a wallflower or anything like that. She's extremely outspoken, and she's a really powerful figure, even without her powers, just in terms of her mind and how she communicates and manages herself. So Tatiana Maslany can nail that, I'm sure. I'm guessing the budget for special effects is going to be high because she's going to have to be hulked out.
Yeah, either she's going to be in like scenes, prosthetics, or they're going to shove protein bars into her mouth.
Yeah, but they said office style comedy, so I guess they're looking for shaky, handycam, offbeat type, no laugh track humor. Okay, I mean, they could do that with a law drama. We'll see. Maybe Matt Murdock shows up. Who knows?
I was just more excited to see her do some fucking action shit. Like, be a strong-ass woman.
They might be. The judge don't got to call a bailiff when she's right there.
If it's going to be like Law and Order, maybe, where she's got to like be in the field or something. But like, really? You're not fighting aliens.
A lot. Yeah, a lot of the women in my life that I've spoken to about this are very disappointed because they were looking forward to see you know, a She-Hulk be as action-oriented as the Hulk is.
Right.
So a lot of the women in my life be like, oh, that's like a cop-out. That is going to be a comedy.
Well, let's be fair. The Mark Ruffalo Hulk that we've seen was one of the things that we haven't seen enough of him as Hulk.
Well, they can't because his story's too similar to Frankenstein's, and we've seen a million of those. So the creators are afraid of making those because they think it's going to flop.
They fail.
I'm like, y'all just not digging enough because there's so much Hulk material that could be used, and there's so much She-Hulk material that could be used. So
what I'm saying is that one of the more common, you know, complaints of fans is that we haven't gotten enough Hulk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I mean. So I could see that being a complaint for She-Hulk too, but we'll see how they handle it.
Yeah.
Well, I know there'll be an action sequence every fucking episode. I don't know. We'll see.
It is also a series, so I can see how it's hard to be like action, action, action. It's just saving lives. It's every single. It's like
the only thing I want to see with any of these Marvel series on Disney Plus. I don't want them to fucking have the same problem the Netflix series did, which is when it was a 13 episode commitment and you only got 8 episodes worth of goddamn.
Yeah.
When the rest was filler and stretchy tertiary characters, and I don't give a fuck about who's and whose sister and who the fuck the painter is at that guy's apartment. I don't care. You know? So that's what I'm saying. With these Disney Plus series, I'm hoping that they just hit, you know?
Right. Well, the next series is actually Armor Wars. And this is all about the Iron Man suits. So a guy, because I read all about this. A guy who I don't know his name, France does. No,
Rafi told you because the fucking NDA expired.
Yeah, because Don Cheadle was like, I can tell anybody.
Yeah, he told you over the Christmas break.
He's like, So basically, Iron Man's tech information gets into the wrong hands and this guy starts like mass producing these armors and then they get into a big war with them because it's like, you can't be doing that, man. And it actually stars Rhodey. So Rhodey's the main character in this.
Yes. Don Cheadle himself.
He's getting his own series. And I imagine this is after he's messed up his legs, so...
Yeah.
He's going to have robot legs, too.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad he's getting his own shine, I'll tell you that.
Sure. We'll probably even see Rescue show up.
Rescue?
Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Maybe even Tony's daughter makes an appearance, eating a cheeseburger.
Yeah, Tony's daughter. I'm down for that. And then her suit says, I love you 3000. Like on the front. Yeah. It's like, woo, I love you 3000. Man, last time there was Comic-Con, I was trying to get that shirt, but it sold out. Whack. Ah, Comic-Con. Okay, so...
The what now?
What is that? So there's this one that I'm a little confused about. It says Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Yes.
So is that 2021, 2022?
No, that one's coming out like 2022.
Okay. I was like, the holidays are over.
No, because it makes perfect sense. James Gunn, he's always wanted to do this. The Guardians of the Galaxy story, like the movie, was in many ways like a Star Wars space opera type thing.
Uh-huh.
So in reverse homage,
he wanted to do
a holiday special, like the Star Wars holiday special, which was infamously terrible, but he wants to do like a Guardians special in that kind of corny vein.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's great.
All the same people are coming? Like, is it going to star?
I'm pretty fucking sure, yes.
Wow.
Be there. You know who definitely will be there? Chris Pratt. I mean, what?
Why did you say that?
Because he's like fucking right wing.
I was like, because he's Christian?
Yeah, exactly. He'll fucking be there.
He's like, I'll be Santa.
I'll save Christmas.
And then Rocket can be baby Jesus.
Yeah, right.
I guess Groot would be baby Jesus, let's be honest.
I don't think he's a baby enough for that anymore.
Stuff him in.
What we really want is Drax to be baby Jesus. Stop fucking playing.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that would be kind of amazing.
That would. But Gamora can't be Mother Mary. That has to be like Mantis, because that would be funny.
No, I want Mantis to be the wise man. All three
of them. That's true. All three of them. She has all their consciousness.
Yeah.
Speaking of baby Jesus, I am Groot. Because he's baby Jesus.
I don't know what the I am Groot thing is.
I am Groot is literally, I think they're shorts. They're a series of shorts with baby Groot. So it's animated shorts of Groot as
a baby. It's all baby Groot?
Yeah, it's all baby Groot.
Yeah.
Is it confirmed that Vin Diesel will be reprising his role?
I don't know. It is not. That's a good question.
Will he be free enough from his Arc 2 responsibilities?
Arc 2.
He will not.
Who? He is the star of Arc 2, Aisha.
The video game and anime. Yeah, I saw some play of that, and I was like, Vin Diesel? Yes.
And the subsequent anime.
Does an anime?
Yes. Yeah, it's all revenge porn against The Rock.
Obviously.
No, it is. It totally is. So, all right. So, that's up in the air to see whether or not they get a stand-in.
Right.
Yeah.
I doubt they would, though. He doesn't really seem to say no to things. I don't see why he would say no to this one.
I agree. All right.
Okay. What we got next? Miss Marvel. We talked about Miss Marvel?
We have. They cast already in that.
They cast. This sweet girl. Mm-hmm. Yay. We talked about Moon Knight. We did Secret Invasion real quick. We talked about that.
We did not.
We didn't.
Because me and you, Aisha, were like, of course they're going to give Sam Jack his own series. And France was like, no, they not. Fuck out of here. And then I was like, yes, they will watch. And then boom.
Yeah.
His own series.
Yeah. The only thing I'm confused about Secret Invasion is how they're going to play it off, because it was supposed to be a secret invasion, but we've already been introduced to the, like, Skrulls and...
I have no idea what this is.
Doesn't make any sense.
Because, like, what are you going to tell me?
Right. That
Tony was a Skrull?
The whole time.
What the fuck are you going to tell me now with this series? It might just be Secret Invasion, but, like, called that, but smaller. You know what
Thanos
I mean?
Thanos was a Skrull.
Thanos was a Skrull. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's called this, but much like Civil War, it might be much smaller.
Okay.
And it might just be something that Sam is helping his Skrull allies with.
Well, it's Sam Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn.
Yes, right. Reprising his role
as Talos. And yes. It seems what it looks like is the synopsis is very simple. Secret Invasion will see Fury and Talos investigate a sect of Skrulls who have infiltrated the highest levels of authority in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So but it may go back into like S.H.I.E.L.D.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think we're going to get like...
We're not going to get the official tissue, see Wakanda and die.
Exactly. We're not going to get like a Black Widow was a Skrull. Oh, I don't think we're going to... That could be how they bring her back. That wasn't really her. Oh my God. But then why did it work? And why did he still... Why
a
did
soul Red Skull, was a soul.
Yeah, right. But Red Skull... It fooled Red Skull? Like,
but it would still be a skull? Sacrifice because the person sacrificing thinks it's them. Yeah,
but it's still... If it would have fooled Red Skull. So that's a loophole there.
Yo, that's how strong the Skrulls are.
As you were saying
it? Yes. Once I said Black Widow was a Skrull,
consciousness, he was like, ooh.
I reverse engineered how it could. But anyway, I don't think we're going to get anything crazy like that.
We don't
know.
The
way that Secret Invasion in the comics was. You know what
Kevin
I mean?
Kevin Feige's been a Skrull this whole time.
Oh, that would explain so much.
He's always known.
But yeah, Sam Jackson gets to be Nick Fury in flip flops solving space crimes.
Are they going to make him young face? The whole time?
No. He's going to look like when he was with Talos.
Yeah, it's going to be...
In Spider-Man 2.
Oh, good. Okay, because I don't think I could take a whole series of that.
No.
Okay, Ironheart. We already talked about that one?
No, because we didn't know about it.
Ironheart. No.
They already cast Riri, too.
Dominique Thorne.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Who's Trini. It's a homegirl Trini. Get it.
I know. I'm very excited. I started because I wrote an article about who are these people and how do you get caught up? Not all of them, just Marvel and Star Wars. But I was reading about Riri and I know so much more now. And I was like, I love her even more.
I don't think they're going to be able to get or that he'd even want to do the AI thingy hologram.
Oh, to be the AI.
Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark. I don't think we're going to get that.
They might get voice matching, though. The guy who does the cartoon.
Oh, like the cartoons?
He's okay. You know it's not you know it's not him.
He's fine. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
The one from Marvel vs. Capcom 3, he could do it.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
We'll see.
All right. Let's keep it moving. There's a lot of ground to cover here. We're out of Marvel now.
We're still in Marvel. Scroll down. But we could probably skip three of those and just go to What If.
Yeah, so Falcon, Winter Soldier, we've talked about that. WandaVision, we've basically been on Panda Watch for WandaVision, so.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it because I just want to get it out of the way.
Right, and it looks like the most interesting thing that's going to come out.
Not to me, Loki is.
I feel like that they're on par. I feel like they're equal for me. Because one, I wasn't excited about WandaVision, and then I started seeing a little bit more. Like every time you see a trailer, you see more and more, and I'm like, okay, this is gonna blow my mind.
If Mephisto is a part of WandaVision, then I'm right there with you. If he's not, I'm still interested in it, but I'm more interested for Loki.
It's gonna scramble our brains
because I think Loki might be our introduction to your boy, Kang the Conqueror, played by your boy,
Jonathan Majors.
Oh. I was like, Tom Hardy?
No, he's your non-Tom John.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Loki, that looks like a ridiculous ride. Like the last trailers, it was like, what is even going on? He's like five in Umbrella Academy.
Yes. And we all love five.
Yeah. He's like, I work for the Time Bureau.
Anytime Tom Hiddleston looks like he's having fun.
Yeah.
Then it's a loser's bet not to go watch him.
You said anytime Tom Hiddleston. And I was already in.
Right. Well, but I'm saying if he looks like he's having a bad time, then but if he looks like he's having fun on screen, I know I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
So I'm so down for that. But What If I thought would be special because they confirmed that they have had many of their MCU talent record things for future episodes of What If. And they confirmed that Chadwick Boseman, passed, recorded, I believe I read several episodes, like, you know, worth of material.
Yeah,
so we might get to hear his voice and see him in that role again in some capacity in that What If series down the line.
No, yeah, we definitely will. I saw that. I was like, oh, man, he left so many gems.
Yeah.
But what if he was still around?
Man, listen.
So on that note, we're going to come out of Marvel and jump into Pixar.
More feels.
I don't know any of the things on this list, honestly, except for Cars.
You know Cars. Don't make Omar fucking hate tweet you.
I wouldn't have a choice to not know Cars.
That Cars series is supposed to be Lightning McQueen and Mater doing shit.
Oh.
Mad random.
For some reason, I thought there was like already a Cars series because they, you know how Pixar always does that?
Yeah, no, or Disney, definitely.
Yeah, they're like, here's a movie, and then here's an entire series about it.
With voice actors that sound immaculately like their Hollywood counterparts and shit. Yeah, it's crazy.
And you're like, what?
And it's like really good for no reason. You get angry that you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they do. But this is for Omar.
This is for Omar. Unless it's nothing like Cars 3, then he's going to be like, what the shit
is
this?
Can we do a petition to see if we can get Omar to voice a background character in Cars?
I can only
imagine.
Doesn't
he deserve it? I feel like he deserves it.
Who would he be? He'd be like a little...
He'd just be a background. I don't know what kind of fucking model car he'd be, but he'd be in the background.
We'll have to ask Omar.
He's such a car stan, you know? You know what? He could be a pork and bean delivery truck. That way the meme mixes in with Cars. You remember the guy that got laughed at for eating pork and beans at Cars in the theater?
What?
You never heard of that fucking meme?
No. I always miss memes. I'm not on the right algorithm.
What is a meme? It was a guy who was writing, like, you know, name a time you got embarrassed, and he's writing, he goes, yeah, this one time these guys laughed at me because I spilled pork and beans on myself while watching Cars. Yeah. Let Omar be a fucking pork and bean delivery truck.
True. We're not going to touch on Soul because we're going to talk about Soul in its entirety in a little bit. So I don't actually know what any of these are. Inside Pixar looks interesting because I'll go inside Pixar, whatevs.
Like the gallery for Mandalorian.
Right? What? Pixar popcorn? I don't know what that is. It sounds delicious. Win or lose?
The only thing on that whole list that I thought was dope that I'm like mildly excited for is Lightyear. Which is the Buzz Lightyear origin joint where Chris Evans voicing young Buzz Lightyear.
Chris Evans.
Oh,
yeah, he's voicing
right.
The actual Buzz Lightyear. So, like, the Buzz that Buzz the toy is based off on. Of.
Yeah.
Right. He's now, yeah.
So he's basically a young Tim Allen.
It wasn't in my list. I missed it.
He's a young Tim Allen.
I mean, it's all good, but that's the one thing that I was like, oh. Well then,
yeah.
I'm just happy to see Disney stick by him even after that, you know, dick fiasco.
Yeah, who wouldn't stick by? What? You made a lovely mistake. Happens. Things happen. Anyways, moving on. Disney Animation. There's too many, like, factions of Disney that I cannot keep track of. Let alone the fact that it also owns ABC.
Yeah. What fucked me up is that Disney Animation turned into Pixar Light because they don't do hand-drawn animation anymore.
They don't. Yeah.
So it's like you have Pixar, but yet you also have Disney Animation, is not... Yeah, that's annoying. And then you have Disney Studios that do the live-action
stuff. Yeah, like, what's happening?
I think that's the thing. The only thing that, again, that popped off for me was the Chippendales re-up.
Well, I want the Baymax series. I'm hyped for that.
Yeah, the Baymax series. But la la la.
I know the homies I know John Mulaney's in rehab, but like the idea that they put time in to do pretty much Lonely Island does Chippendale Rescue Rangers. I'm like,
yeah.
I think it's done in the same way as Lion King with that kind of hybrid live action animated thing.
Yeah, it's animation mixed with live action with John Mulaney and this guy.
What country's ambassador do I have to kidnap to get a Darkwing Duck series?
I know, right?
Well, I mean, if they freaking canceling DuckTales out here, I don't know what.
They did.
Word on the street was that he shows up in that series. And I was like, word? Now I got to go watch the whole thing.
No, I heard it's really good, but they're done. Maybe they're going to do a mix animation live action of that, too.
A lot of people, I'm sure, are happy. Hocus Pocus 2 with all the original cast. Mm-hmm. People are coming back. Rebooting Three Men and a Baby.
Yikes. Well, that's not Disney animation.
No, that's just Disney.
Disney.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I know. You're right. I scrolled down too much. It gets confusing. There's too many of these things. But Moana's getting her own series, and so is Tiana. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And there's an African-inspired, I think it's West African, Uwaju.
Mm-hmm.
I know. They showed like a big picture of it. It looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a whole world of like comics that folks made out there that Disney was like, we should totally make this world into something more substantial. And they're going
to. Cheaper by the Dozen is the Steve Martin thing where they have like six kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know why that's happening. But yeah, so Iwaju says it's going to have Will Smith and Darren Aronofsky. They traverse the mysteries of this planet.
Oh, no, that's the Nat Geo.
That's
the Nat Geo joint.
Oh,
yeah.
My bad.
Now you really get screwed.
I know. I'm going to love the place. That would be cool, though.
You just made their Nat Geo product.
That's what it is.
Because it's called Uwaju.
Called Uwaju. Which, and then Zootopia Plus. I don't know why it's Plus. Maybe because like Disney.
Because it's Zootopia Plus the furries. The furry community.
It's a whole other genre going on.
Comic-Con about to be lit. Comic-Con about to be lit for the furries.
What the fin is Comic-Con?
Brat, brat.
Yikes. I don't know.
But yeah, it'll be. I guess it's a series of Zootopia, which I don't think is necessary. You could have made a second movie and I'd have been good. I don't need a whole series.
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to go into Nat Geo and then we're going to close it out with the Disney-ness. I mean, it's not much to say about Nat Geo because, I don't know, there's a Cousteau thing. So
that America the Beautiful. What they going to be talking about?
I have no idea. And I am concerned about it, though.
Limitless with Chris Hemsworth is basically his IG stories.
I do want to see that. He's going to be like...
You can see them on IG.
He's going to be in, like, Iceland and like or something and icebergs trying to survive.
Have you not seen him on his IG? It will be him in Iceland, but it's Iceland trying to survive him. He's a force of nature.
Icebergs are pushing against him, and he's like, what?
Yeah, it's exhausting watching him on IG.
Yeah, no, I can't do it.
Because he's doing these rapid fire fucking exercise routines. And he's laughing and smiling. I'm like, you're becoming Thor, God of Thunder, in real life.
Yeah, I don't know how IRL. He does it.
So stop it.
Honestly. But he's doing that. I'm going to watch it. A Real Bug's Life? I don't know what that is, but I love A Bug's Life, so I'm going to watch it.
I'm sure it's a documentary or like a series on bugs and insects.
Okay, maybe I won't watch it.
You don't like watching stuff about bugs?
Depends on the bug. I'll watch ants. Roaches? Okay. No, thank you.
No. Ants. Who was in ants? Was J-Lo in ants?
No.
The one about wars?
No.
Ants. Yeah, ants was wars. They went off to war.
Who was in that?
So brutal.
Let's find out.
Somebody was in that.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. They literally were like Sharon murdering Stone. Other bugs.
Who?
Sharon Stone, Woody Allen.
Sharon Stone.
Yo, that movie was not for kids.
No. Speaking of movies not for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, wait. We still got more stuff.
We're almost there. Almost there. All right. We'll rattle these off because we kind of already talked about it. Hocus Pocus 2. Why? Nobody knows.
What do you mean? That's a huge following.
Yeah, but like... Hocus Pocus. We don't need a second one because you're going to ruin it.
No, I don't think there's anything they could do to ruin the first one.
Yeah, but then, like, I'm just going to pretend the second one doesn't exist if it sucks.
That's fine. I mean,
that's fine.
Bette Midler gives us something to do.
All right, 3 men and a baby. Mike was excited about that.
Some sort of, I guess.
I never really watched 3 men and a baby, so.
That's probably why you're not excited.
No, I'm not really excited. There's some that give me questions, like
Steve Guttenberg. Did that do it for you? Ted Danson, Tom Selleck.
These are all the people that people liked back then. Yeah.
Back then.
Back when?
1984. It's exactly when.
The Ice Adventures of Buck Wild. Now that's not. That sounds, doesn't sound like a porno.
I was going to say, that sounds like that's also not for kids.
The Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild.
Yeah, nah.
It's just another Ice Age. It's all Ice Age.
We got to keep warm.
We got to keep Chippendale Rescue Rangers. We talked about
that.
Gotta
chase that nut.
Yeah. More Diary of a Wimpy Kid. What I don't understand is the Chris Paul project. I say no to that. No.
The insurance commercial.
Yeah, they're just going to follow him probably around doing stuff.
But his brother already gets followed around doing stuff.
They're bringing back Amy Adams for this disenchanted shit.
Aisha, who do you think Chris Paul is?
Yeah, wait, who do you think Chris Paul is?
Chris Paul. Wait.
Who's that?
Is this a different Chris Paul?
Well, no, who's the Chris Paul you think it is?
Logan Paul's brother?
All right, so we're going to take a seat for a second. Hold on, everybody just relax.
Which Chris Paul is this?
I hear everyone right now just like turning. Just relax, everyone stop. Delete that before you send it to Aisha. You leave her alone.
But okay? He was in the boxing thing that they just did.
No, listen, that's Logan Paul.
That's Logan Paul.
No.
Fuck him.
No, Logan Paul has a brother.
Fuck Logan Paul and his brother.
Fuck Logan Paul and his brother. That's Pauls. What I'm saying.
Fuck those Pauls.
His brother was in a boxing match that we watched on television.
Chris Paul.
No.
Is a basketball player.
Oh, the basketball player.
In the fucking State Farm commercials with Alfonso Ribeiro.
So, yeah, well, Logan Paul's brother is also named.
Let's never mention Logan Paul or those Pauls. Again, those Pauls are banned.
That's why I said I had questions. I was like, why are we talking about Chris Paul? But you mean the basketball
Chris
player.
Paul.
It's Logan and Jake Paul.
Jake Paul.
I don't want to hear those names. Chris Paul.
The basketball
black guy.
Player. No, I know who he is.
Basketball player. That's who he is. Now, the funny thing is, Chris making a show about Chris Paul is like making a kid's show about Gary Payton. like both, like on the court, they are the most shit talking backstab. Like they are known for how they're great player. He's a great player, one of the greatest at his position. But what's funny is that he's known for being such an irritable, tough person to get along with. So I really don't know what this series is about for different reasons than
I'm pretty
yours,
sure this is
Aisha.
Just a makeup for his flat earther stuff that he was doing. And
Chris Paul wasn't doing that. That was Kyrie Irving.
I was like, oh, yeah, that was him, wasn't it?
No, I'd rather see a Kyrie Irving series. All right, that motherfucker is the Magic School Bus all on his own.
Deadass.
He's fucking trippy. I'd love a series on him. I could understand. Chris Paul, though? He's just going to be a little pissed off all the time.
I'm about
trying
it.
To, you know.
Yeah. I'm really not amused by any of the stuff on this list that other than the Chippendales one, because Chippendale only one that seems.
What do you mean? Like Peter Pan and Wendy.
Peter Pan.
I'm not hyped. Yo, that story's been overtold.
Pirate fights.
It's
pirate.
Overtold.
Night at the Museum without Robin
Rufio.
Williams. Fucking blasphemous.
Exactly, because I'm talking about.
You're not hyped for Sister Act 3?
I mean,
you don't think we need more than ever some fucking gospel music sung by,
I mean,
by nuns in Las Vegas led by Whoopi Goldberg?
What it is, because I don't think anything could beat Sister Act 2.
This will beat that.
It better try real hard.
This will be Battle of the Mega Churches. You're going to get the Sister Act
versus Joel Osteen
versus Joel Osteen's mega church. And they'll win.
I mean, they better win. It just I don't know. I have so many questions about all these reasons.
This would be the Sister Act that does the crossover with other franchises. So this would be Sister Act
with Glee,
and they sing gospel in the strip club where J-Lo was for what was that movie she was in? Yeah, this would be Sister Act 3, Heavenly Hustlers, and they'll go in there on a Sunday.
They're trying to save them. That's what they would do.
Yeah, you don't want that. Am I the only one that wants that?
I don't know what it is. I don't know who wants it. But
I'm the only one that wants stripper nuns.
Probably already are stripper nuns.
Let me get a thumbs up in the comments if you also want some stripper nuns.
They're like, I ordered stripper nuns last week. I mean, we'll see. As long as they make awesome music, I'm down. But you don't got Lauryn Hill. I know you don't.
Wait, do we know that we don't have Lauryn Hill?
They better not have Lauryn Hill.
They can't. They don't have enough time.
They don't have enough money. And they don't. She doesn't have enough anything to do anything. Sorry.
I think homegirl is done.
She's done.
I think it's over.
She can sister act.
She can sister.
If J-Lo could be in it.
If J-Lo's in it,
she's in the Hustlers Club.
It's not Hustlers 84. All right, let it go.
No, it was Hustlers 69. No, all right, come on. Move on. Come on, Ice Age of Adventures of
Buckwild. We're done. That's it. Sister Act was the last one.
No, I mean, that's the sequel.
Ice Age, Sister Act 3.
Sister Act 3, The Adventures of Buckwild.
Yes.
Confirmation of Buckwild.
Yes. Buckwild Hustle. All right.
We got through. We went through the unimaginable list of announcements. So yeah,
I think our take on all this has caused Disney stock to plummet.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, yo, if this shit don't get people fatigued, I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
I am tired. Well, this is
over the next couple of years.
Three years.
So it's not like all this stuff is coming at you at once. And let's be real, it's not like we're fucking exhausted from all the content in 2020 either.
Right.
With a lot of the stuff, we are fucking smacking our goddamn good popping veins in the arm for this shit.
Yeah, and like...
I know I am.
Basically...
I need my fix, friends. All we had was Wonder Woman.
Yeah. That's all we had.
He's shaking his head like I'm talking like a maniac.
I'm agreeing with you. It's just sad.
You know, this is... He's Aquarian. He's the only motherfucker I know who agrees with me by shaking his head.
Because I'm sad.
Damn. I mean, we saw Mulan, guys. Mulan came out.
That was not a superhero shit. That shit was borderline.
It's Disney.
That was the Force.
But we'll see. It's exhausting to think of all the announcements. But yeah, it's going to be over about 3 years, maybe four. We'll see. And it'll be interesting. We have a lot to, quote unquote, look forward to.
Word.
All right. So we're going to do a quick review of the movie Soul. So if you haven't seen it, I guess don't listen. Or you could. There's not really spoilers either.
Just pause it and then go watch it because it's on stream, available stream. Go watch it.
Yeah, just go watch it and then come back.
On Disney Plus.
All right. So the premise of Soul is that there is a man... What's his name?
Joe Gardner.
Joe Gardner. He is a jazz musician who, you know, doesn't make it in the way he wanted to, I guess.
Excuse me. He is a school teacher.
Well, he didn't make it how he wanted to, and he ends up being a school teacher, a band teacher, right? It looks like middle school, I want to say.
I'd say that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe assumption.
And they're not very good. They're not a good school. There's like a couple students that are like, whoa, you're really good. But you can see he doesn't feel fulfilled in this job because they announced to him, yay, you're not part-time anymore. You're full-time. And he's not like, yoo-hoo! He's like, oh no, my life as a jazz musician. But one of his former students calls him up and is like, oh my God, I have a gig for you. You come play with this amazing jazz saxophonist, saxist.
Saxophonist. Saxophonist.
Sax player.
Sax player.
Saxman.
Saxman.
It's not even jazz.
It's not.
But it is sax. It's what everyone thinks of.
Yeah.
It's what everyone thinks of when they think of sax.
Like, to be fair, it's like beautifully animated, obviously. It's Pixar. But, yeah. You know, he gets all excited. He plays for the woman, and she's like, you know what? See you tonight. And then he falls through a manhole and dies, but doesn't die.
Wait, this is the non-spoiler?
Oh, no. We were just doing a review. That's why I said don't listen if you haven't seen it.
Okay. All right. All right.
We don't have time. We don't have time.
None of us said spoiler, but spoiler.
Oh, true. This is the soul of spoiler. You get it? It's gone.
Spoiler of the soul.
So man's dies.
So yeah, but like not really.
Dike.
Yeah. And you see his soul come out into nothingness, a void, I guess, and he's supposed to go into the great beyond. And beyond. Then he's like, nah, wait, I had a gig. I need to get back to that.
Yeah, slow for that.
Right. And we find out the intricacies of the void before and after life.
Yeah, the Pixarian afterlife.
But it's before as well, because there's like young souls that haven't been put in human bodies, and he kind of...
Yeah, middle school, middle life school.
Yeah,
middle life
school. He gets stuck into the little nursery of souls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tina Fey is the voice of a soul, and in his journey to come back to Earth, gets into his body... And he is inside the body of a cat. I feel like this is where we're losing audience already. They're like,
this is where?
So now my pet peeve with it is that we're always turning black characters into animals.
Well, that's your, that was that your was, pet peeve?
One of them. No,
several layers of pet peeves that layered onto each other.
Because, I mean, you know, I was the one who reviewed the one with the pigeon where Will Smith turns into a pigeon.
I'm getting the feeling you guys did not like this movie. Am I correct in that assumption?
To have a white lady be in the body of a black man who plays jazz? Yeah.
Felt like... Okay. Are you going to summarize the rest of the movie?
No. I feel like that's enough there. Now it's just a series of...
I watched this movie, and when it was over, I was of two minds. The one mind did not enjoy this movie and thought it was highly problematic.
Yeah.
For reasons we'll go into. The other mind was wondering if the aforementioned mind was just exhausted from dealing with the year that 2020 has been. Like, the other mind was wondering, is this now how we see the world?
Right.
Can we love nothing? That's what the other mind was. And my problems were, I didn't even have the problem with him being a cat.
Oh, good.
But you're right. When you brought that up, I was like, you're
right. Always got to be an animal.
My problem was, within the movie, they asked 22, which is the Tina Fey soul.
The rogue soul, the rebel soul.
Yep.
Ask, so why she asked that, him, it, whatever pronoun souls get. Yeah. Asked 22 why they spoke the way they spoke in that voice. And 22 says, I speak like a middle-aged woman because I thought that that'd be the most annoying. So already that soul is identified as a middle-aged white woman. Yeah. And then for the rest of the movie, I felt like I was watching Get Out. That's what I felt like.
You're like, okay, into the body.
I really felt like I was watching Pixar's version of Get Out.
It was. It
she starts running away in his body.
That was one of the points I really didn't like too. It was like, there's always the thing they have to do in a kid's movie where like takes a perfectly fine situation and like throws a wrench in it.
Is this even a kid's movie? More than 70% of the jokes in here were like based on historical references.
That they would not even understand.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the kids wouldn't even fucking
also
know.
Also jazz.
The adults wouldn't even fucking know. And then there's that. But I didn't even feel like this was a kid's movie.
Yeah. But they always do that. It's like, oh, everything is totally fine. We're going to get what we want. And then it has to be like one thing. And he freaking kidnaps the body. Goodbye.
Yeah, that was not cool.
I don't know.
The cat body switch thing. We both slid each other side eye while we were watching it, like, really, really. And then the part that triggered me the most, actually, and I'm using triggered appropriately, is when you're on the subway and Tina and 22 is in Joe's body and he bumps into that white dude and the white dude yells at him. And the way that he retreats, that whole scene fucked me up. Fucked me all the way up. I was like, I don't like this. Who was in the room and was like, yeah, this is good.
Another thing, because, you know, this all had that black magical character helping white people deal with their and find, you know, it had that element, even though it had that element.
Yeah.
My biggest issue with the movie, and it was Mima's too, the scene where DK, Joe, is talking to his mother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because up until that point, the cat sounded like Joe.
Right.
And Joe sounded like 22 Tina Fey. Yeah. But in that moment, it's not clear if 22 is speaking for Joe or if Joe is speaking for Joe. And if that's 22 speaking for Joe, I have a fucking problem with that.
Oh, no, it's not. They make that really clear. Joe says, I'm going to coach you through this conversation. He said, just because they wanted to make it from the mom's perspective. To make it look like her son's actually talking. It was movie magic, but it was not terrible. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was movie magic in the same way that Wonder Woman's movie magic, the camera went around, and now we can see Chris Pye.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm mad that's the link between these two problematic ass movies.
That's how it happened. So technically, it was 22 saying all those things with a cat going, meow, meow, meow.
Really? Okay. All right. Because
they didn't look that way at all.
That's what I'm saying. The optics of it, that whole scene for me, I think most people would see that and then just, wait, isn't that 22 in the body?
It is. That's why even like the mom reacts so like endearingly, but in reality, you just watched your son, right? Say things to you while a cat was literally meowing in its ear. You're not going to be like, you're going to be like, what the fuck is going on?
I don't know. You write your scenes. So they wrote it to get to that point. So it still had the optics of 22 being the one having that conversation and thus bridging that gap and getting the healing that actually belonged to Joe. I don't know. That was kind of weird.
You know who did this
maybe
better?
Maybe that's nitpicking, but
you know who did this better?
The whole rest of it.
Jumanji 2. Even though Jack Black was just being a generic black guy, I'd rather watch Jack Black be a generic black guy.
Yeah. Sure.
Gotta call it to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. You hear that, Jack Black?
I mean, no blackface, but randomly talking like a black dude? All right. Tina Fey being a black dude? No thanks.
Yeah, that one was weird.
Yeah, that did not sit well.
It was weird. A lot of weird decisions.
The music in this movie was absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I enjoyed the music. I got lost in it a little bit. I like to joke around that I love encountering jazz. I don't like knowing jazz is coming. I love encountering it.
Oh, jazz.
And this movie had some great moments in it. The fact that Joe was blind to the idea that he had helped inspire a great musician and had another one as an apprentice. Right? That was bothersome, but I mean, he was a flawed character. There's a point. He was living his life, blah, 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 whatever. I just don't like how it took Dike, a middle-aged white woman with all the privileged education and exposure to knowledge in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And the afterworld, to be his guide, and then her needing him as her guide.
Yeah.
Magical Negro thing. I don't know.
It didn't have to be Tina Fey. It could have been like Kiki Palmer. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I'd have been like, sure. Oh, this is interesting.
Sure.
It's funny.
It could have been
because that changes
Meg Thee Stallion.
What was that that dynamic where it's like there's a certain number of core characters before something becomes a DK ethnic movie. So like if you had a Kiki Palmer as 22, then it becomes a black movie. As opposed to the fact that there are 30 other characters of color in there, but it doesn't matter. Because if the core, once you change a core character like 22, then it becomes a DK black movie, and then all of the parameters for was it marketing and everything all of a sudden changes and all that stuff.
But they did market it as a black movie. Do you know what I mean?
They
marketed it like this is a black movie, and then when it happened, you're like, "Oh, this is
so weird."
Yeah, we're like, "This isn't what I thought it was."
But see, this is the thing, though. When in Black Panther, Watson was brought in to Wakanda, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
it was always in the lens of you're a tourist, you don't belong here. We're gonna remind you about that.
Right. Right.
And he did what he could to try to be an ally, but at the main, it wasn't his world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In this movie,
right.
I felt like the movie became all about 22.
Yeah, it did.
In Joe's world.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. That bothered me. Because I was like, it doesn't mean this is not a good story.
Right.
But whereas this could have been a very special story and more like you marketed it, as a black movie.
Right, you did.
I feel like it still fell into a lot of the tropes. It fell into a lot of the things that make a white audience more comfortable with the narrative. And I feel like if they would have went a little harder in the paint, it could have been.
Do you want to hear one?
The movie we kind of thought it was going to be.
It could have. Do you want to hear one thing that I realized too, like hours afterwards?
Of course.
So you know the part where the accountant is trying to go back and take Joe back?
It's Jerry?
Terry.
No. Terry
goes back and he's like, "Who can't be seen, blah, blah, blah." And then takes the soul of the wrong black man.
Yeah.
He took the soul of the wrong black guy.
For a moment, yeah.
Like, do we all look alike?
What sucks is if you're right, if you're really paying attention, if you're really paying attention to that scene, that barbershop scene or whatever, there's like a back and forth, right? And then 22,
right,
sons him, and then outside gives him lollipop, and you hear like a conversation in the background where they're talking about how they'll see each other again, they'll meet up, let's do this, whatever. They were like friendshipping, you know what I mean? Like healing. 22's doing that, but still, and so. There's like redemption for that character.
Yeah.
And then that happens. That traumatic experience happens. And then we never see him again.
Never see him again.
So the last image you have of him is him in the fetal position in the street, coming off of a loss of a win to a loss. And it's like, damn, we couldn't see him later, like at the concert or at the club, being happy.
But then that shit gets layered because he's like, don't eat processed foods. It's going to kill you. And I was just like, fam. That was your go-to when he don't... I was like, he don't got control over the food in his neighborhood. Anyway. Could be a food. You can't get an heirloom tomato. Anyway.
Get an heirloom tomato.
It was Harlem.
Or the fact that, like, he ended up bonding with the barber more as a middle-aged white woman than as himself. Right? So 22 is there, like, all these things. You're like, oh my God, it was so nice to talk to you for once about something that's not jazz. And I was like, I get that he's a flawed character, but damn, he doesn't even get along with his barber.
How different would this movie have been if it's not 22 that guides him or that is with him all this time? But what if it's his student, the young girl?
Oh,
what
I know.
What if something tragic happens to her? And then the lesson is that he doesn't see how much of a blessing he is in the lives of others from his student's perspective.
That would have made more sense.
And she looked like, I could be wrong, but she looked Asian or something.
Yeah,
she didn't
Asian
look like
descent,
a white girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how different and powerful of a story would that have been than this?
It would have been as impactful as Up. It would have gave us the same kind of human connection that we got
Yeah. Been up. Like this one, it was an okay story.
Right.
In a tough year. I get that. But I don't think we should overlook.
No, I'm not letting that just lie.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we should overlook some of the things. And it's mostly in reaction to how it was marketed.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like my own expectations of it, but seeing what they put on the screen, I'm like, I get what you were going for. While safe, too many familiar tropes, following the formula to make white audiences comfortable. Fuck that. Take a risk. Tell this story.
Yeah.
That would have been something different and unique and bold.
You know how much of a waste it was that his Curly, his former student that is now the drummer in the band, mm-hmm. is played by Questlove. Like, that's such a missed opportunity to get into, like, to really get into the instrumentation of the music with the student, even.
And we never saw a conversation, like, between the two.
No, yeah, it was, like, quick.
Like, we never got to hear a conversation between the student about the teacher and that impact.
Yeah.
And if 2020 needed a message that needed to be out there like that, it's that of the educator and the students, given the circumstances that we're facing.
He said it like once, and it was a kind of moment where he was like,
and it's a story.
Yeah.
Like, you pick up on it because, you know, we're adults. Right. But if you're a kid, I don't know if there's enough there for them to notice, wait, that's his student. He must have helped him. He's successful. Right. He's doing something right.
Right.
I don't know if that's kids can latch on to that.
No.
If there's enough of it. I don't know. It's a weird movie. It's to me, it's the most problematic movie Pixar's come out with.
Oh, yeah. Pixar doesn't usually drop the ball like that. Pixar is usually pretty on point.
They don't usually handle black things. So
true.
There's a little extra scrutiny on there. I know on my part.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm very curious to see. I got to talk to the... I don't think, like, for example, I don't think Tito's going to show the kids this movie because... I'm not putting business out there, but like movies that have to do with like death and things like that.
You gotta have a special conversation.
They're heavy.
Yeah.
They're heavy because a conversation comes after that. Like, a conversation came after Last Dinosaur, you know? So I don't know if this is a movie she's gonna like rush to get them to see, you know, yet. But I am curious what their take on it would be, like just to get a kid's perspective.
Yeah.
That would be dope.
On what they thought the movie was. But I don't have a kid's perspective to go on right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, what are we rating it? We got to rate it.
How many sparks do you give it out of 10?
How many Nicholas Sparks novels we give it out of 10?
Whichever gives you the spark to live.
That too white.
I would give it 6. I give it 6 sparks. Because it was still really well like animated. I loved the saxophonist. She was beautifully drawn and the music was great. Yeah, that's why I give it 6.
I'll go next. I'll let friends go last. I'm stuck in between 5 and 6. Because again, I think there's a good story here. Mm-hmm. That's done, you know, with the level of Pixar quality. But I find it's more than any of their other movies, I really was expecting and wanting more. So actually, it's more like a 5. I'm going to go with a 5. And that's by far the lowest rated Pixar movie I've.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the lowest rating I've ever given the Pixar movie.
Agreed.
I'm going to go 5.5. And give me the same feeling I got from watching Over the Moon.
Right. Oh.
Where there's a lot of with the attention to cultural nuance, like the nuance is there, but at the detriment of the integrity of said culture.
Mm.
It's like the hair was drawn amazingly, voices were wonderful, people were in different places, but it's all the type of diversity 101 bullshit that should have just been day one anyway. And the cool that is there, it means something, but then. Mm-hmm. Then the other shit falls by the wayside. The thing that actually gives integrity to the culture, like not having the white woman make this black man's life better by being in his body or taking his body.
Or by her finding her, you know, becoming a real girl, real boy without the magical Negro. Well,
through his element. Sacrifice in particular. So it's just like, so yeah, it's that everything they did with the psychedelic, with that little, with the gurus and the lost souls, that was amazing and very well designed. And I thought that was so cool.
That was fun. But
that was kind of like the highlight for me was that. So yeah.
Yeah, I really, besides the music, I don't know if I really talked about what I liked in this movie, which, but the music was really good.
Yeah, I like the mom and the auntie characters. That was fun.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they were funny. I mean, the idea of getting a second chance in life is nice to think about, and not everyone gets them. And not everyone gets them at the end of such a psychedelic journey, as Fran said. But I don't know. I don't know if the way that Pixar delivered this dish was how I wanted
it.
So.
Well, not to end the year on a note of soul. We did have a good year, though. We had a...
On a blue note.
On a blue note. Yeah, that was hilarious. It was like half note, and I was like, is that the blue note? But, yeah. Any favorite 2020 moments for y'all? In podcast world, that's... I don't know.
Oh, because I was going to say, I'm looking at my door every day for Luke Skywalker to just...
Show up.
Show up and destroy all the demons in my life. You know what I mean?
So you can be like, Ja, make sense of this.
let me see. Highlights of this year, podcasting-wise. I mean, the fact that we were still able to do 20 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, shout out to just the opportunity and the technology to do this.
That's real.
It's not how we wanted to do it, and it definitely did not fit in any of our plans going into 2020, but nothing did. So, you know, shout out to y'all and to Daryl and to, you know, folks who listen. Thanks to BMP as well, making this part of their, like, you know, little community.
Yeah, that's true.
Facetiously, because it's a big community. And just hoping for bigger and better things for next year. Maybe, you know, when we get all injected, we could do videos and shit.
Legit. I have to second that. I think it's really hard for anyone to keep going this year. And I'm so thankful that, like, we felt the need and desire and have the capability to keep going. Because as much as we're like, oh, we only have, like, 2 fans, I know, like, firsthand they said that this has helped them actually keep going. So that warms my heart and makes me feel like, you know, we're doing what we gotta do. And yeah, big ups to, like, even progressing in 2020. Like, we merged with BMP, you know? That's a big step. So there's only, literally only up from here. So.
Feel that.
Here to 2021.
Damn. Highlight? Ahsoka? No.
Well, it was for me.
Yeah.
It really was. Agreed. Nah, I definitely had a visceral, like, real life, oh my God, reaction. But podcasting, I'm keeping it as full stack. We've always thought quality over quantity. And the community that put up money to actually allow us to be able to have this stuff to do this right now. Because if not for that, we would have been doing this on the scramble as opposed to having a community back us from jump to allow us to have the tech to make it work. And just being able to record with y'all has been super therapeutic. And I think my highlight for us, the podcast, was the being able to put together the 846 episode, like to channel what we were feeling and what many people in our community were feeling and podcast through that shit. Like, that shit was, like, super helpful for me. Like, super shift in energy. So, that's my highlight. Yeah.
Yeah, because this year was, like...
We got a podcast.
On the one hand, on the one hand... There was so many moments this year where I was, like, there's nothing I want to do more and less than podcast.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, I really feel like this is an outlet for us.
Right.
And for people that might listen. Like, our spin is important. on and our take is important on certain things, but at the same time, it was like, when do I process, who am I going to
yeah.
It was just weird, like there was so many moments like that, but at the end of the day, I feel like for us to be able to still put out 20 episodes,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, it feels good. It feels good, and every time we did do it, it always felt like the right idea. So, you know, I don't know. If people listen to us and they get even a fraction of how good it feels to talk with your friends about nerd shit, to make things that are, you know, in the grand scheme of things, quite frivolous, seem important.
What do you mean?
I mean, if they, you know what I mean.
Wonder Woman was a treasure.
Why is all the rum gone?
Yeah. But I'm saying, if they get even a little bit of the positivity that this feels like, then I feel like it's important to do. So.
It always felt really good during the pandemic to laugh.
Yes. So
being able to still laugh with friends has definitely kept me going. And I hope,
yes,
I hope we're making y'all laugh and that's keeping you going too. So,
yes. These last two episodes also for our audience, because, you know, full transparency, France and Aisha are recording in different rooms.
We are.
This is for the sake of audio fidelity.
I know.
And I don't know, let us know what you think. Is there a different vibe to us being in three different rooms right now? Y'all just let me know. I feel like it was.
I do want to know. I feel weird.
It feels weird when we're not with you, bro. It's like, it's OD. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Now this is like even more separated.
It was already weird that we had to be on Zoom to do it. And then it got more weird because France is in the fucking living room right now and I'm in the bedroom.
Wait, who won the flip? The coin flip?
I decided to go to the bedroom.
Oh, so there was no coin flip.
Yeah, because, I don't know, it's comfy in here.
Double-sided coin. Okay.
You don't have
double-sided coin.
I've been listening to on audiobook American Gods on repeat, yeah, on YouTube, and also Norse Gods on repeat. Neil Gaiman reads Norse Gods the entire time. Wow. American Gods, he reads the chapters about like the natives and slavery and things like those, but the rest is acted.
Ooh.
By some pretty good voice actors. So I've been just like listening to go to sleep, you know? Yeah. Why did I bring that up?
I don't know, but that's Jonathan? Nice.
Oh, because coins and Shadow with the coins and France mentioned.
Oh.
That's why. That's why.
Yeah, the coin that was flipped. See, I'm not was completely
bonkers. Yes.
But yeah, let us know if it, I mean, hopefully when we come back, it'll be even a different vibe.
Season 5.
Who knows? What is 2021? What is it?
From the bubble. The podcast. Yo, why BNP didn't do a podcast bubble for us?
Bubble. Yo,
and there should have been a bubble in Ohio.
Right?
No, tell Will. There should have been a bubble in Ohio that he funded.
For all the podcasters.
Yeah, and all the podcasters. We got to be quarantined in the bubble. Full service.
Full you know what service. I'm
saying? And then we record. You know what I'm saying?
That would actually be
we
fun.
We record in the bubble so we'd be safe.
It's like a K-pop band. Like, we just be in a big
no,
podcast
man.
8 hours straight.
It should have been that. Like, why they didn't do that? Why was there no pod bubble?
It's true. Shout out to BNP. Thank y'all for the platform. This is the trip. And there's only more to come. Like, maybe streaming.
We did us going into year 5.
Year 5.
Yeah.
Year 5 is the year where we finally get paid.
Don't forget, it was the first podcast was
recorded on a
was
phone.
Us on my phone on New Year's Day. Y'all was a little bit swishy.
We talked about Doctor Strange.
And we talked about Benedict Cumberbatch.
Dormammu.
We talked about Doctor Strange. That's how this started.
If we ever meet him, we gotta be like, yo, you're the reason why.
It's your fault.
You're number one. Flagship. All right, y'all.
But that's how this started. Yep.
Have a happy new year. And
yeah, be safe, everybody.
We'll see y'all in 2021.
Word.
Yeah. On the other side.
Unless you're listening to this already in 2021. I see you.
Then we made it.
We did it.
We made it. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway.
Insert non-DRM risky jazz uplifting beat, already Daryl. Oh.
Got it.
All right. Okay. Let's end on that.
Like, subscribe. Yeah.